And this is May the 10th, and it's Mother's Day. 45 years ago this day, I announced my call to preach. It was on a Mother's Day. It was on May the 10th. And so it's 45 years ago. And so this day's a special day to me. And I thank God for the privilege down through the years to try to preach the Word of God. I blundered through it a whole lot of time, but I'm glad for the privilege to endeavor to share the Word of God and let God do what He wants to do. I was thinking back on it the other day and thinking about how God has been good to us. God has blessed us abundantly, and I praise Him and thank Him for that. I was talking to a preacher called me out of Maryland yesterday, and I was trying to help him some, but I was just talking, thinking about it, the people God's let me meet, the people God's let me come in contact with, and try to be a blessing to and a help to, and a lot of those have been help and blessing to me, and so God's been good. And I praise Him and thank Him for it. And I know that may not mean a whole lot to you today, but this preacher, it means a whole lot. And I thank God for the privilege to be here today preaching the Word of God. I want you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter number 2. And I know there have been folk at the altar praying about various problems and difficulties, and my heart cries out to God for them. And I was telling somebody today, or the other day, I was telling them, mentioned again this morning, that there's some folk that we dearly love, that we love to see in the house of God. We love to see them come. We love to see them here. And they're not, but God can deal with their hearts. And I want you folk that are dealing with those situations in your families to know that we got a great God. God that answers prayer. God does work in hearts and lives. And there's a note in the bulletin. And if I can find one, I'll give that bulletin. And verse number, Exodus chapter 2, verse 9, is quoted down at the bottom of the right-hand page of your bulletin. Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I'll give thee thy wages. And Lord willing, that verse tonight I may touch on somewhat, if God will help me. I got so much on my mind, I don't know which way to go hardly, but I'm thinking about that. I ran across something while I was trying to deal with Mother's Day, and in Exodus chapter 2 there, and I want to go back to that probably tonight, if God will let me. But this morning I'm dealing with a situation, a subject that only God knows the need of the hearts of the people that's here. And so I pray God will help us with this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 41, I want you to stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Now his parent, this is verse 41, chapter 2, Gospel of Luke. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege we have to read the Word of God and try to share the message that you've laid upon our hearts. And I pray today, God, that you would touch us to preach. And I pray the Holy Spirit make it real in my heart, my life. And God, that I may share that with this people. I pray, Father, for that divine touch of God and the Holy Spirit of God to work in every heart, every life, and challenge and encourage and whatever the need may be. Then I pray, God, for every mother here today. Thank you for godly mothers. And I pray, God, you bless them and help them, encourage them. Then those that need help, I pray you'd help them today. And God, I pray for families that need help that you'd help them. And Lord, I'm glad we serve a great God that's able to hear and answer prayer. And the anchor holds. And Lord, we give you glory and praise and honor for the anchor in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Now help us today and we'll praise you. I pray you rebuke the devil. Every hindering cause, I pray that you would take out of the way. I ask in Jesus' name that Jesus Christ be exalted and lifted and that we may see him. And Lord, today that you'll speak to hearts and deal with lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching today on a subject that I did some years ago here, but the more I looked at it, the more I saw in it, and I pray that God will help me at least get some of that said today that God's laid on my heart to say. In this, I'm using Mary, and I'm going to use it at this time, a backslidden mother. You say you wouldn't take Mary, the mother of Jesus, and call her a backslidden mother. Well, I'm going to today. And you say that'd be sacrilegious. Well, let me just mention to you the fact that Mary got saved. How you know, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked because I wanted to tell you. Look in Luke 1, verse 46 and 47. Luke 1, verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. My Savior. She had a Savior just like I've got a Savior. And I've always wondered how in the world they ever come up with this thing that Mary was born without sin. If that be the fact and the case, then her mother had to be born without sin. And if that be the case, then her mother had to be born without sin. And if that be the case somewhere down, then Eve had to be without sin. She's the first one that did sin. Y'all still with me? Amen. That kind of stuff, we don't need that today. Mary is to be remembered as a great woman that God chose to bear Jesus into this world, but she's not to be worshipped, and she had to be saved. She had to get God her Savior, and she confessed that. And if you could had talked to her on earth, she would have told you that she's saved and that she had to be saved, and she's a sinner saved by grace. And I say hallelujah, amen. Now, two things stand out to me here. Well, I need more than two, but two, I want to show you an introduction. Number one is that Joseph is never mentioned after this verse, after he's mentioned in this passage of Scripture. You never find Joseph mentioned again. He's called the parent and so forth and father there one time. I'll mention that a little bit later. But he's never mentioned again. But it's the first time in Scripture that you hear Jesus speaking. He's never spoken before in Scripture. This is the first words we find recorded that Jesus ever said. And he talked about being about his Father's business. And we'll talk about that a little bit later also. But here he went up to the feast of the Passover. Every Jewish male, 12 years of age and older, was required to go to at least three Jewish feasts. And Feast of the Passover, and the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of the Tabernacles. And they had to go up and be at those feasts. And talking about Feast of Passover that night when they come out of Egypt. Feast of the Pentecost that day when first fruits were brought in and those made. And then the Feast of the Tabernacles, reminded of the wilderness when they made their booths and dwelt in them. How God had watched over them, cared for them, and brought them through. Every Jewish male 12 years of age and older had to be at those feasts. And so Jesus went up at 12 years of age at the Passover time. It's religious time. It's a church going time. It's a time of worship, a time of sacrifice. It's a time to be there. So they did. And But I want to share the thought with you and let you see what I'm talking about. There is a difference in relationship and fellowship. And we've been preaching here recently a lot on the relationship. And some folk got saved and born in the family of God. And we were privileged last Sunday night to baptize several of those folk. And I praise God for it. I rejoice in anybody that comes to know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. I praise God for that. It makes no difference whether they're a church member or whether they're not a church member. If they've not been saved, they need to get saved. Amen. The rest doesn't make a difference. You need to be born in the family of God. I'm glad to know that I'm saved. But after you are saved, then our fellowship with God is important. And keeping that fellowship like it ought to be with God. So today, mothers, and I'm not just picking on mothers, but I said backslidden mothers. Let me talk about this. Backslid people. And I'm talking about having a relationship, but not the fellowship we ought to have. And I'm afraid sometimes that many of us have that relationship and not the fellowship that we need with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so hang with me and see what we're talking about here in this scripture. Look with me, please. First of all, the person at the loss of fellowship. And that was Mary, and we talked about her being saved. And over in this chapter and earlier, verse 25, you find they took him down to the temple when he was 8 days of age and so forth. And they did the right thing. They took him to church. He went to the synagogue undoubtedly. He went where, and did that. But here, 12 years of age, with the men, he went up to worship God. He went up to the Jerusalem. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what the law said they're supposed to do. So that's what they did. But Mary and Joseph took him up there. And it was there that she lost her fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And did you know the most unlikely people lose fellowship at the most unlikely place? And you and I sit in the house of God, and we think just because we're in the house of God, everything's fine. You can sit in the house of God, and I believe this to be true, as many of people sit in the house of God on the pew and backslide on God. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe in backsliding." I don't either. A lot of people do it anyhow. I don't believe in drinking liquor, but a lot of people drink liquor. Amen. Don't believe in lying, but a lot of people lie. And so we sit on the church pew and say, "Well, everything's fine. I'm here. I'm in church." I didn't mean everything's fine. You say, "Preacher, I'm saved. Everything's fine." You may be saved. That don't mean everything's fine with your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, you're in bad shape sure enough. You need to come to know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. But after you come to know him, you need to fellowship with him and come and have that fellowship day by day. I'm thinking about those who lost fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Do you remember the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, that's not said about anybody else, but David was a man after God's own heart. But you know what happened to him? When it come time to be in the battle, he was on the housetop out there. He was laying around home, and he got in trouble. And when he saw Bathsheba, he could have turned and went in the house, but he lingered, and the temptation was there. And then that temptation was there, turned to lust, and then sin came there. And it all happened to a man that was after God's own heart. And it happened to him. Hey, unlikely person for it to happen to, but it did. And you say, "Preacher, I never would." That's what Peter said too. And Peter said, "I'll never deny him. I'll never turn against you." In fact, is in the garden, he drew a sword and cut an ear off of a man. He meant to fight for the Lord Jesus. But did you know after that prayer meeting in Garden of Gethsemane, and he got out there with the wrong crowd, sat down in the wrong place, and some young ladies came by, and he denied that he even knew Jesus. Backslid, right? I mean, a man that meant to stand for God, and he meant to do right. He wanted to do right. Fact is, he one time stepped out of a ship. I know he began to sink out there later, but the rest of them didn't get out of the ship.
We're talking about a brave man. We're talking about a man that really loved God, really loved Jesus. We're talking about somebody that you wouldn't think would ever deny him, but he did. And we need to understand the fact that that can happen to any of us. Amen. And we need to be very alert to what's going on around us, that we don't get caught in something like that and leave out of a religious service. Mother's Day morning. We need to be careful we don't leave out backslid on God. We don't leave out of here saying we've been to church and heard a preaching, we heard singing, and boy, it's been good, and let's go home. That's not what it's about. We're here to worship God. And we're here to let God help us and God do something for us. Ananias and Sapphira in the early church, and they wanted to look good, and they lied about what they'd given. And the Holy Ghost told Peter about it, and he told them about it, and God dealt with it. Hey, these people like to look good in church. They like to look like everything's fine, doing good. And I certainly hope and pray you are. But I can say this today, not everybody here is where they need to be with God. Not everybody here is right with God and saved. Hey, some here that's out of the will of God. Some here that used to be really serving God, not doing that now. Some have let things come in and rob you of your joy, that thrill of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I'm glad to report to you today, there is some help. There is some help. We're going to get to the help in a minute, but I'm trying to show you that Mary, she left that meeting and Passover time. They'd been there, and she'd been there with Jesus. They'd been in the temple together. They'd been around together, but she left without him. And I'm not talking about losing salvation now. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to nail this down right here. If you ever get saved, you are saved forever. You can't lose salvation. You're saying, preacher, you're preaching mighty strong on that. I believe it mighty strong. I have a real conviction that if a man ever really gets saved, he'll never get lost. Because Jesus does the saving, the Holy Ghost does the sealing. And if you can get lost, the devil will have to break the seal. And that's the Holy Ghost. If he ever breaks God's power, then you're a goner anyhow, and the whole thing's gone, and we might as well give up on the whole thing and go to the house and forget it. But it's an impossibility to be lost. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Believest thou? I believe that. Amen. Who are kept by the power of God. You couldn't save yourself if you had to, and you couldn't keep yourself a day. You think a foolish thought and be lost before the day's over. Amen. Sin separates from God. But I'm glad the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Keeps on the cleansing. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, I'm in Christ. And the devil cannot get me out of that position that I'm in. I'm saved, as good as delivered in heaven. You say, preacher, when preachers preach like that, that gives them a license to sin. Oh, no. If you think that gives you a license to sin, it's an evident fact you've never been born again. Because that doesn't make me want to sin more. That makes me want to sin less, because I know I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. And God is going to hold me responsible for my life. And I can't just do anything and then run up to the altar and get saved and say everything's fine. God's going to deal with me as a child of God. And when he does, then I have to suffer the consequences. Amen. You're welcome. I'd plug that in. That's one of those plug-in things I do. And I just plug that in so you know how long you're saved for. Saved forever, hallelujah. I'm saved today, I'll be saved tomorrow. And thank God I will be saved forever and ever. I'm saved, saved, saved. Now, God has to deal with me. God will deal with me if I mess up, and I know he does. But Mary here left there without Jesus. And fellowship, she's still Jesus' mother. She still had the relationship. That was still there. But her fellowship, he wasn't in the crowd. And so the most unlikely person lost that fellowship. And that happens down through the history of the church and our lives. We find that to be true. But what about you individually? Let me just ask you, what about you? How's your fellowship today? If you had to stand and give a testimony about your fellowship with Jesus, what would you say? We'll leave the question right there. Talk about the perplexity of this matter. Look in verse number 43. And when they fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They did not know it. You remember when Samson sinned and he failed God? By the way, he's a great man of God. He did great exploits for God. Took a jawbone of a donkey and slew 1,000 Philistines. God mightily used him for deliverance, but he laid his head down in the wrong lap, got in trouble. And then he went out and shook himself as other time. And the Bible says he wished not, and I believe it's in Judges 16, he wished not that the Lord had departed from him. He didn't realize, he didn't even know he lost the power of God. He went out there and thought he'd fight him like he always did. He didn't know. We sit on the pew sometime and lose our power with God and don't even realize we've lost power with God and don't realize we lost fellowship with him. And so I pray today, God, the Holy Ghost, will make it real to us and waken us to the fact of what we need from him. And so here she is, and she's in that condition. But now I want you to look at why she lost that fellowship. Well, first of all, let me say this. She was careless. She didn't look around and see where Jesus was. She thought, took for granted that he was with acquaintances or with other family members, but she really didn't check on it to see where she was. We need to really check up and see where we're putting Jesus in our lives. I know he's our Savior. I know he's our Lord. I realize that fact if we're saved, he is. But where do we put him, and where is he in our daily lives? And how do we see him in our daily fellowship with him? Day by day. Hey, here she was, and she went a day's journey and didn't even miss him. Didn't even know he wasn't with him. She thought she'd turn around and find him being right there. We sometimes take for granted that Jesus is going to be right there when we need him. Some people use Jesus like a bellhop. If I need him, I'll call on him. He'll be right there. I realize he stays within the hearts of every believer. I understand that. But I'm talking about helping us. Sometimes we take for granted he's there. Boy, all we got to do is call him. He's going to get us out of this situation, help us this mess, or be right there to comfort us, help us, whatever. But we've been going journeys without him and not counting on his presence, not talking to him, not having fellowship with him, and really not missing it. Just going back because we're busy. You know what she's doing? She's talking to kinfolk. She's talking to acquaintances and probably just talking about other things of life and home and whatever. And she just got tied up in that, caught up in it. And Jesus was not with her, and she did not know it. And she went on that day's journey without him. And I'm saying some days we go without him. And at the end of the day, we don't even realize we hadn't fellowshiped with him, hadn't spent time with him, hadn't taken time to find out even where he was. I'm saying to you today, God help us. God help us on this day. Mamas, this is Mama's Day, Mother's Day. You like to know where your children are. Now, if you're worth a flip, you do. You like to know where your children are and what they're doing. Now, I realize that to grow up and get out of your house, that's a different matter, different story then. You still like to know where they are. I don't care how old they get. If they get to be 99 and you're alive, you still want to know where they are. I guarantee you Pat's mother still likes to know where Pat is. Sometimes Frank will like to know where Pat. No. I'm kidding about that. I don't know why I'm picking on Pat so much today. She's pickable. I didn't say she's a pickle. I said she's pickable. And I've been picking on her all day long, but anyhow. But mothers like to know where their children are. And if you don't see them real soon, you start hunting for them and looking for them as a mother's nature, as far as being a good mother, and knowing what children are doing, where they are, what they're doing, and are they in trouble? Are they hurting themselves? Are they doing something they ought not to be doing? And is that not true? I thought my mother had eyes in the back of her head. She seen you things I didn't think anybody knew. And she'd pick up on things I didn't think anybody ought to pick up on, but she would. And she'd ask me about it. And I'd scratch my head and wonder, what am I going to say? How am I going to lie out of this one? Now, you folk never lied out of anything. I can tell by looking at you. Y'all just so innocent. Yeah, you just like me. That little boy sat in class one day, and the teacher said, "What is a lie?" He said, "A very present help in time of trouble." Amen. That's how most of us thinks about lying. Amen. Just help me in time of trouble. I need some help. And I got to think of something to say right here because I'm in trouble. And so, but she was careless about it. But when she did realize it, she went to the wrong place looking for him. I want you to look at this, verse 44. And they supposed him to have been of the company when a day's journey. And they sought him. Notice they sought him among the kinfolk and acquaintances. And I want to park there just a minute. Because sometimes people depend on other people that keep fellowship with Jesus. And I want you to know today, it doesn't make any difference what other people do. You're responsible for your own fellowship with Jesus. Amen. Kinfolk, acquaintances can help you and encourage you, strengthen you, and that's well and good, and that ought to be. But they're not the ones that keep you in fellowship. Just because in the home the dad or the mom or the children are real close to God, I don't mean your fellowship's what it ought to be. Amen. Every individual has to be responsible for their own fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so just because some are, I mean everybody is. So everybody, they were looking around. And then I've heard people say, well, I go to church, but so-and-so did this or so-and-so did that. That doesn't make any difference. You're responsible for your own fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I may fail you, and other people may fail you, and everybody in the church may fail you, and everything in the church may look wrong. That don't change the fact you have an obligation to be in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank him for the relationship. I'm glad I'm saved. But boy, I tell you, I long for that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing he's real in my heart day by day. I mean having real fellowship. Hey, where did they find him anyway? Hallelujah. And I can't hardly wait to get there. I'm about to run ahead of myself. But I want you to know they were looking in the wrong place for him and trying to find. But they was very unhappy while he's doing it. Look at verse 44. I said verse 44. That's not right. Look at verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. In other words, they were sad. They wasn't happy at all. They lost their joy when they realized Jesus wasn't in his rightful place or where they thought he ought to be. And when they realized they didn't know where he was, they got sad and the joy wasn't there. Did you know if your fellowship's not right with God, it won't be long until your joy be gone. And you'll be wondering, where's my joy? Where is that thrill about being saved? Why am I not as excited about it as some are? Why am I not excited as I used to be about being saved? Why doesn't it mean to me what it used to mean to me about knowing Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what's wrong. We've lost our joy. We've lost that thrill of having fellowship with him. When you first get saved, why, it's the first fellowship you've ever really had with him. All the other time, you just heard about him and knew something about him, but you never had fellowship with him until you come to know him personally as your Lord and Savior. And then, you know why Miss Dana can get up in this choir and gets excited now? You know why she came back after she got right with God? You know why she could raise her hand? You know why it got so real? Because she really got saved. And the first time she'd ever really had fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I say glory, hallelujah. Amen. I never had fellowship with him. I was a church member and all that, but I didn't have fellowship with him until I come to know him. But boy, when I come to know him and had that first meeting with him and fellowship, whoo, hallelujah. Everything else didn't mean anything. It's just him. He saved me. I loved him. He loved me. I was a new creature, and I said, hallelujah. But then after a while, we kind of begin to get used to it. And we fellowship day by day, sweet and sweet, and all of that. And the song says it grows sweeter every day. It ought to, but it don't always do that. Sometimes it sours on us. Our fellowship I'm talking about, not Jesus. He never sours. It's us that sours. And we're going to touch on why this happened now. But listen to me. They lost. They didn't know where he was. They didn't have fellowship with him. But notice the place where they found him. I like his. This is exactly where you'll find fellowship with him. In verse 46, I want you to notice, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. He was in the temple, sitting among the preachers, teachers of that day, talking about the Bible, talking about the things of God. You know where you find fellowship with him? In the house of God. You know where you find fellowship with him? In the Word of God. Amen. You find fellowship right in this book. Praise God, you get to reading it and talking, and you'll think, find a nugget and say, whoop, hallelujah, I found me another nugget, and you have fellowship with him. You want to know more about him, get in a book and read about him. He's everywhere on every page, and you find him there. Then you come to the house of God, and you get up and sing the anchor holds, and you think about, boy, my anchor's in Jesus, and it's a holding, and say, hallelujah, praise God for that. Then they sing about getting saved, no fancy and older, and you think back on that and say, whoop, praise God, that's good fellowship with him. And then the man gets up to preach. He talks about being saved. He talks about Jesus Christ dying for our sin, being buried, and we get to have fellowship. Hallelujah. It's good. But we sit there and tune it all out. Wish he'd hush. Wish he'd get it over with. I want to go eat. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll sit in the house of God and we'll get thinking more about chicken than we do about Jesus. Amen. We'll be thinking about what we're going to do after a while than what we're going to do right now. We're in the house of God, worshiping God, hearing from heaven, letting God do what he wants to do in our hearts and lives. Hey, fountain, time's getting away. And anyway, forget the chicken time too. But we need that fellowship. They found him right where they left him. And by the way, he never left you. You left him. If your fellowship's not right, it's not because he doesn't want to fellowship with you. It's because you don't want to fellowship with him. You remember that prophet that was cutting down a tree and the axe head fell in the water? And old prophet said, the young prophet cried out and said, I lost his bard. And said, boy, what am I going to do? He said, where fell it? Show me where you he showed him where he fell in the water. He got a stick, cut it down, speaking the cross, throwed it in the water, and said, the iron did swim. Hallelujah. And you know why? They went right back where he lost it and found it. I'm saying, until you get back where you lost it and find it, amen. That fellowship is not where it ought to be with God. We need mothers and dads that have fellowship with Jesus Christ every day of their lives, close to God, can pray for their children and know how to pray for their children, can believe God, trust God with their children. I'm going to close in a minute. Just hang on. Did you know Cain left the religious? Well, if Cain only left the religious service, he was in a religious service when jealousy and hatred started. He got jealous because Abel doing better than he was. He got jealous because somebody had more God on him than he did. He got hatred in his heart. Amen. Judas left meeting right with the 12 and Jesus and went out and betrayed Jesus. Ran out right after that service. I mean, he even left the service and done it. People do all kinds of things, don't they? Well, let me show you this. Verse 48. When they saw him, they were amazed. His mother said to him, son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee. Now notice that word father has a little F on it. That means he's talking about his earthly father. He was just his stepdad. But look what Jesus said. First words he ever spoke, we know recorded. He said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not, I must be about my father's business. Capital F. My father's business. What he was saying was, Joseph, you're my stepdad, but I got a father in heaven that I've got to be about his business and do my thing. Mothers are important. Dads are important. But the most important one is God in your life. Amen. I'll show you one other thing and I'll close. Verse 44. They supposing him to have been in the company that went a day's journey. Then verse 46, and it came to pass that after 3 days, it took them longer to find him, didn't lose him. They lost him in a day. It took them 3 days to find him. A lot of times we lose him real quick, and then we blunder around trying to find him, trying to find fellowship, trying to get right with God. But let me tell you, the day God loves you right now, you can come and be right with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus wants to help you. Will you Today his heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking, myself and God. Think about this. God's speaking to your heart. God deals with your life. You say, preacher, I realize my fellowship's not what it ought to be. Now listen, it takes an honest person to admit that. Anybody can just come in church and not do anything and let it go. But if your fellowship's not right with Jesus or you're not saved, you ought to come today and bow here and find your place. Talk to God. You may need to come pray for somebody. I don't know what your need is, but God does. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to be in the house of God. And I pray right now the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Lord, that fellowship that we need day by day, help us, Lord, not to let that slip by. If we're sitting in the house of God today and that fellowship's not right, help us be honest about it. And help us, Lord, to crawl up to you. And Lord, here in the house of God, so we can have fellowship with you as we ought. I pray you'd help people today. There's a mama here somewhere. You're speaking to her heart about this. There may be a dad. Father, there may be a mom here that's lost. Maybe a dad. Maybe a son. Maybe a daughter. There's somebody here you're speaking to, drawing them by your power. And I pray the Holy Spirit have his way right now in Jesus' name. Amen.